Our lesson today comes to us from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Prior to hearing God's call to vocational ministry and to entering seminary, I practiced law here in Dallas for 5 years. And for the first 2.5 years, I practiced corporate litigation, which involves lawsuits and other legal actions with corporations and business entities. For the second 2.5 years, I practiced family law, which primarily involves divorces and child custody cases. And as an attorney, I spent a lot of time in depositions, during which witnesses provide out-of-court testimony under oath to be used at a trial or in preparation for a trial. And I spent a lot of time in hearings and trials with witness testimony in the courtroom. Over the course of my practice, I learned a good deal about the law, people, and myself. Lessons which have turned out to be quite insightful for ministry. And one of the things I learned is that witnesses are really important. No matter how strong a case you have, a weak witness can easily undermine it, while a strong witness can bolster and even turn around a weak case. An entire case, months of preparation and fact-gathering and research and work and strategy, may very possibly be won or lost on the basis of one witness's testimony. The stakes surrounding a witness and her or his testimony are often quite high. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told his followers that they would be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. As Christ's followers today, we are his witnesses on this earth. And for those of us who are United Methodists, we were asked upon joining the church whether we would support it with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. As a member of this church, you have actually vowed to be a witness in this world for God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Being a witness is not to be taken flippantly or lightly. Indeed, the stakes are high. So today I thought it would be helpful to take a careful look at our gospel text in conjunction with the language of the law to better understand what being a witness is all about. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, and it's all about a witness and testimony with very high stakes. The passage may be familiar to you, As we just read it, it's the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, and this is the prologue of the Gospel. It's an overture to the book. It's a high-level summary of the Gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. And though traditionally, the author of John was assumed to be the Apostle John, it is more likely that the document was written over several decades by several different authors. But for our purposes this morning, I will refer to the Gospel writer as John. So in our passage, John is serving as a witness to Jesus Christ. He is giving his testimony in support of Christ. John is not in a deposition or a courtroom setting, but rather he's writing his testimony to a group, a community of Christian Jews, Jews who believed in Christ, probably around the end of the first century AD. It's unclear where this community was located, perhaps Antioch or Ephesus or Alexandria or maybe even Palestine. But what is clear is that this community of Christian Jews is in crisis. They're facing persecution from other Jews because of their belief in Jesus Christ as the definitive and decisive revelation of God. The Christian Jews are finding themselves struggling with their identity and ultimately with their existence. John's testimony and witness surrounding Jesus Christ is crucial to the identity and to the survival of this fledgling community of Christian Jews. The stakes are very high. As a trial attorney, I spent a lot of time preparing witnesses to testify. I never told witnesses what to say, but I sure did tell them a lot about how to say it. And there were four rules that I would instruct each witness to follow. First, don't open your mouth until you're asked a question. Second, don't open your mouth until you understand the question. Third, answer only the question asked. And fourth, don't equivocate. In other words, don't be vague or ambiguous or non-committal in your testimony. This last rule is the most important in any deposition or courtroom proceeding, and it's the most important rule for us as witnesses for Christ. God calls us to defend the faith, our faith, without equivocation, but with conviction, clarity, and confidence. John did, the early church did, and so must we. It's possible and maybe even likely that our gospel text was sung as an early hymn by the community to which John is writing, which really isn't all that surprising. Throughout the centuries of the church and continuing today, hymns serve as a means of witness. By singing the songs of the faith together, we proclaim the words of our faith. We testify to our fundamental and vital beliefs as Christians, which is precisely what John does in the prologue. John's testimony gets to the point and it stays on point. He doesn't equivocate. As a witness, John speaks to two pivotal questions, questions which aren't explicitly posed of him or asked of him in the text, but questions which were undoubtedly in the hearts and minds of the individuals in the community to which he writes. And these two critical questions are, who is Jesus Christ? And what did Jesus Christ do for the world? Who is Jesus Christ? And what did Jesus Christ do for the world? John's testimony reveals powerful and immovable truths central to the core of Christianity and crucial to the identity of the Christian Jews to whom he addresses. The first half of John's testimony, roughly the first half of the prologue, addresses who is Jesus Christ. So now let's jump into the text to find out what John has to say. Please feel free to follow along. There are Bibles in your pew backs where you can follow along in your order of worship as we work through the text. We're in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 1. In the beginning, notice how John begins his gospel by echoing the first words of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and the first words of the creation story. In the beginning. By starting his testimony in this way, John takes us back before creation, before the world existed. And he testifies, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Immediately following his allusion to the creation story, John introduces us to the concept of the Word, or Logos, as we find it in Greek. In Jewish tradition and then in the church, Logos refers to the Word of God, God's speech, God's self-expression, God's action in this world. John takes this concept of the Word and he expands the traditional paradigm. He imbues the term with new meaning. For John, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Therefore, Christ was in the beginning with God. Just as God has always been, Christ has always been. Just as God existed before creation, Christ existed before creation. Jesus Christ and God are one, and all of life, all of creation came into being through Christ, the Word of God. In these three verses, John is making a bold and a radical claim about Jesus' identity, the most important claim on which everything else rests. Jesus Christ is God. So, of course, John continues on to write, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all of the people. John testifies that Jesus is the light and the life for all of the world. And he writes, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Jesus is the light of the world, the light which can never be overcome or extinguished or put out. Jesus is the eternal light. Further, John testifies, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Our witness, John, is referring now to John the Baptist. He, John the Baptist, came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Again, John is emphasizing here that Jesus is the light of the world, the true light, the only light who gives light to all. Do you hear it? John is unequivocal in his testimony, and he leaves no doubt as to who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is God, the life and the true and eternal light of all the world. Now that is an uncompromised witness. It reminds me of the uncompromised witness displayed a little over 2 years ago in Charleston, South Carolina, by members of the Mother Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. We all remember probably some of the details at least. In the middle of June, on a Wednesday evening, a young white man named Dylan Roof came to a Bible study at Mother Emmanuel, which is a historic black church in Charleston. There he was greeted with open arms and he was invited to participate in the Bible study. Towards the end of the evening, as the group was bowing their heads and closing their eyes to pray, Mr. Roof opened fire on the group, shooting at least 70 rounds and killing 9 people. Less than 48 hours later, less than 2 days after this slaughter, at his first court hearing, the families of the victims, the fathers, the mothers, the husbands, the wives, the sisters, the brothers, the sons, and the daughters, those family members of those who had been killed, told Mr. Roof that they forgave him. As one family member put it, God forgives you, and I forgive you. Now that is an uncompromised witness. That is unequivocal testimony for Jesus Christ. One person captured the spirit of their witness this way. For surely love is always stronger than hate, and hate will never win. Do you hear John's testimony in that? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the second half of his testimony, John switches gears, and he focuses on what did Jesus Christ do for this world. Once again, he's unequivocal in his testimony, and he sticks to the point. Picking up in verse 10, John writes, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. John is explaining that Jesus came into the world that he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own creation, and he was rejected. But, John tells us in verse 12, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. In other words, for those who didn't reject Jesus, for those who surrendered to him in faith, who embraced him, Jesus Christ strengthened them with his power, with his grace, so that they could be transformed into fullness of life and live as children of God. Jesus gave the gift of authentic life as children of God. Then John finishes his testimony with the most important testimony ever given. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "Was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me,'" speaking about John the Baptist. Back to our witness, John. "From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the testimony that, if given in a courtroom, would leave everyone stunned. You would be able to hear a pin drop. If you didn't understand John's testimony up to this point, you understand it now. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. God became human and dwelt among us in the world. One Bible paraphrase puts it this way: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. To experience Jesus is to experience God. Jesus Christ changes everything. God is no longer a God who dwells in a tabernacle with limited availability or accessibility to God's people, but rather our God is a God who lives among God's people. What did Jesus Christ do for the world? John testifies that through his incarnation, Jesus revealed God's glory in an entirely new and radical way. God did that for us. We have all received grace upon grace. In a high-stakes situation involving struggling identity and survival, John serves as the ultimate witness to the community to which he writes. John is unequivocal and clear about who Jesus Christ is and what he did for this world. And John's testimony holds true for us today. Jesus Christ still is and will forevermore be God, the life and the true and eternal light for the whole world. Because he became flesh and dwelt in this world, and because he was crucified and rose again, we all have received grace upon grace. Grace that inspires and transforms and propels and empowers. And we have received the amazing gift to live the abundant life God offers us to live as God's authentic children. John's testimony challenges us to serve as witnesses for Jesus Christ, to fully embrace the call that Jesus gave to his followers to serve as witnesses to the ends of the earth. John challenges us to fulfill and honor our vows as United Methodists, to be witnesses for Christ in the world. Being a witness for Jesus Christ means being open each day and every day to participating in the grace that is all around us. The writer Annie Dillard observes in her work, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, "Beauty and grace are performed whether or not we will or sense them. The least we can do is try to be there." Beauty and grace are performed whether or not we will or sense them. The least we can do is try to be there. The grace upon grace upon grace upon grace that Jesus Christ has given each one of us, that he's given this world, is all around us. We need to show up. Showing up to God's grace means loving those around us, especially those we find most difficult to love. It means showing patience and care when we want to dismiss and move on. It means being quick to forgive. Showing up to God's grace means being present with others in their darkness when things are difficult and painful and ugly and messy, and when, quite frankly, we don't want to be there. It means going to those in the margins, to the elderly, the disabled, the sick, the oppressed, the different, and working to bring them to the center. Showing up to God's grace means calling out evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. It means taking a stand against the racism, the discrimination, and the fear-mongering that pervades our country and our communities, and that was so tragically displayed yesterday in Charlottesville. When we show up to the grace that is all around us, we serve as witnesses for Jesus Christ. We become agents of God's work in this world. Through God's grace, we can bring healing and hope, transformation and love where there's pain, despair, brokenness, and darkness. And the stakes are high. This world is desperate for our witness. This world is desperate for the hope that only Christ can provide. The hate-filled and appalling events in Charlottesville, yesterday show how much our witness is needed in this world. Our nation's divided. The world is in a state of unease. People all over the globe are hurting. You only have to spend a few minutes each day talking to others, even looking inside your own heart, to know that people are lonely and sad, addicted, isolated, lost, and in pain. So it's up to us, as believers of Christ, to show up to the grace that is all around us and to shine Christ's healing, loving, and hope-filled light into this world. When we participate in God's grace, when we serve as witnesses for Jesus Christ, we claim our God-given identity and live as more authentic children of God. We claim the only true identity that we will ever have. There's so much grace. There's so much grace. We've received it. Will you be a witness?